Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 this morning. Exodus chapter 3 is where we'll be in the Word of God. As I've already said, we're so thankful for our independence. Can I get a witness? We live in a divided time and a divided world. I told my daughter coming to church this morning that if her generation didn't stand up for the history of America and the Word of God, I don't know what they're going to do. I've never seen such a time of division in my life as the time that we're living in right now. But it's also the best time to be a child of God. Why? Because we have seen so much come to pass. Only thing we've not seen yet is the coming of our Lord. And I believe it's about any time now. He could come before this message, before I get to say a word about this message. He may come this morning. If you're here lost without God, I want you to know you're the most important guest in this house today. If you feel a need to come to this altar, whether you're saved or lost, you come anytime. You won't disturb me in any way. This altar is open this morning for those that are hurting and those that are in need. And I want you to know that God loves you, and we love you this morning. But I had a few things I wanted to give you by history this morning before we got into the lesson and to the message this morning. I wanted to tell you that we know from history that Christopher Columbus sailed across the Atlantic, and we have taught this through history. In 1492, he sailed across the Atlantic to discover this great land that we're in now. And I thought about when I looked back in history and was looking over this, that all the naysayers, even today, how much controversy they are just about how America was discovered. And they argue back and forth about that. Now, this was many, many centuries ago, and you and I can't go back there and give an eyewitness, but all we can do is go on history and what it teaches us. Then we come on over, and we see that the pilgrims in the 1500s, they sailed over here because they wanted religious freedom in the 1500s. And they came here to set up so they could worship freely and not be bound. And they wanted to be able to hold their services and worship God and give praise to His name instead of being bound by all the laws that they were under. And so they came and set up a colony and began to reach out and try to teach the Word of God and be free to worship the Word of God. But we sit here today, century after century after century, and we have taken for granted all that our forefathers have done for us and all that they have travailed and worked and died for, and that's for this great nation, so we could have freedom to worship the Lord. Freedom to have a church house and freedom to be glad to be American, to be proud to be an American. I'm proud of our flag and what it stands for. I just spent some time in Washington, D.C., and I thank Brother Tommy for standing in for me last week. We went to D.C. and we got to see all the monuments and all the different places and hear the history and walk the streets and see the Vietnam Wall, and how my heart was broke when I saw all the names from almost 8 foot high plumb to the ground as it went off to nothing. And I thought about all the people had died so I could be here this morning. There's 8 women's names on that Vietnam Wall that I didn't even know about. 8 women that fought the fight of faith and stood for this country and died for this country. Thank God for the women of God. Thank God for you women today. You have been trodden down and put down all your life and put aside. But I want to tell you, I thank you for being a woman of God and standing up for the Lord. I'm thankful for freedom and what it means to me as a child of God. And as I walked those monuments and I looked over Arlington Cemetery and I saw all the dead that was laying there, Ravonda looked over at me and said, could you imagine? When the trumpet sounds, what a mess this place is going to be. And I thought, man, I hadn't really thought about that at the moment. But when he calls and the dead in Christ get up from the ground, I believe they're going to come out of the Arlington Cemetery, and I believe they're going to come out of cemeteries all around. Not that they're sleeping in the grave, but we're going by what thus saith the Word of God. When he says he's going to call and they're going to answer. I got to thinking about that when I was there, and what a blessing it was to think about. But when I looked over all the names and the monuments, I wondered how many of them truly knew the Lord. I'm glad to represent them and honor them for giving the ultimate price for our country and for our freedom. But I wonder, did they have Jesus in their heart when they died? You can be a good soldier, and you can stand for this country, and you can fight the fights of war, and you can die with your own blood for this country. But if you haven't got the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, the Bible said hell will be your home. I'm telling you today, we must have the blood applied. It doesn't matter whether we're a soldier in the natural army or what. We got to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. Then I was blessed to see soldiers, baptizing soldiers in loader buckets out in the desert. They had lined the buckets and filled them with water, and they were baptizing those soldiers. Just this week, I got to see that on the internet. I thought, man, what a blessing to baptize the soldiers. He said, here's water, let's get baptized. He began to baptize them boys. They sat down in that water, and they submerged them down in that bucket and back out. And I thought, man, how wonderful it was to see them following the examples of Christ and being baptized. I'm telling you today, if you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Water wouldn't save a cat. But I'll tell you what, we love to follow the examples of the Lord. It's answering of a good conscience towards God. That's what it is, of the sacrifice that He made and what we have received in our lives. Can I hear from you? Amen. But over in Exodus chapter 3, I got stirred up this week when the Lord began to deal with me on this message. I've only had two or three messages this week, but this is the one the Lord seemed to settle me with. And if you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. In Exodus chapter 3, breaking in at the first verse. Now Moses kept the flock of Jericho's father-in-law and the priest of the Midians. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I believe we're on holy ground this morning. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, this is where we've taken our scripture today. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come up to me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Brother Greg Collins, ask the blessing, please. You can be seated. All throughout time, there has been a cry of independence for freedom. And today, the Lord has inspired me to preach a subject entitled, A Cry for Freedom. A Cry for Freedom. God has heard the cry of His people. And I'm telling you today, we have got the attention of God. In this hour and day that we live in a wicked and perverse time. I never seen a time when you cannot go to a grocery store, you can't go to a restaurant, you can't turn on the TV, or you just can't work in the marketplace for perversion. It's on every hand. God help our children. If you haven't taught your children, you better teach them, because the devil will teach them. We used to, these things was hid a little bit. We didn't have to see them as much. And you know, we didn't have to shelter the eyes of our children so much. But we live in a wicked, wicked time. But it's the time has repeated itself from these times here, when the children of Israel was under oppression here by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And they had suffered many things. And they were going through such travail, and they began to cry. They began to weep. And I believe that God, out of verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord, He said, I have surely heard the afflictions of my people. And today He has heard us. He has seen us. He knows what's going on in our lives, just like He did then there. So the first thing I want to tell you this morning, He sees what we're going through. We don't have a God that's sitting on a throne that is only cared about what's going on in heaven. He's not concerned with us. He's only concerned about His own deeds and welfare. But He's all consumed with us and what's going on in our lives. Why? Because He gave the very best that heaven had. He is concerned. He sees what's going on in our lives. Every time you go through persecution, every time somebody does you wrong, says something wrong to you, or does evil against you, He sees that. And He knows that. Isaiah 57 verse 18, He said, I have seen His ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comfort unto him and to his mourning. Let me tell you, the Lord knows what you're going through. He knows how hard life is. He knows the things that you suffer in life, what you're going through at this very moment, better than I do. I can call you. I can text you. I can check up on you. You can tell me things that's going on in your life. There's things going on you probably won't tell me. But I know one that knows everything that's going on. He knows the very thought that's in your mind right now. He knows whether you're paying attention to the Word of God, if you want to hear the Word of God, are you more concerned about eating at 12 o'clock? I tell you what we need to do. We need to get our minds upon Him, because He knows every thought in our minds right now. He knows every hair that's on our head. They're numbered, every one. You may lose a handful of hair, but He knows everyone that fell. He knows everyone that's on your head right now. He knows when you were persecuted last week. He knows when you were put down last week. He sees it all, amen, and knows what you're going through. Sometimes we wonder, have you ever wondered? I have. Lord, do you see what I'm going through? Where are you at, Lord? I need some help, Lord. I'm going through an awful trial. The Lord gets quiet on me sometimes. I don't know about you all, but He gets quiet on me. And I have me a little pity party. I'll stick my lip out and pout a while. And I'm like, Lord, where are you at? Things are so bad, Lord. I just can't make it, Lord. And woe is me and how bad it is. And finally, I felt the Lord tell me, you done having a pity party yet. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. He said, I give you my word. I've told you how to overcome it. If you'll give it to me, I'll take care. I saw it when they done it. But if you'll give it to me, it'll be all right. But Lord, I'd like to get vengeance, Lord. I want to get back at them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. It's not our place to get vengeance. It's our place to turn it over to God. Say, Lord, there it is. When you can't do nothing with it, when you go to that person, I'm going to go this way because God's already pulling me this way. So I'm going to go on this way. To be all right this morning, I'm just going to preach to you. When somebody does something against you, you know, and it hurts you really, really bad, and you just can't seem to sleep, you can't eat, it's always on your mind, you're thinking about it, and you're wanting vengeance, and you're hurt to the bone, and you're thinking, I need to have vengeance. But God is wanting us to turn it over to Him. Blessed are the peacemakers. It ain't fun being a peacemaker. I'm just going to tell you now. But He's honored when we keep the peace. And those that offend you and those that hurt you, you know, if your brother offends you, go to him and him alone. I thought it meant to go to the church, get on Facebook and call people and tell them what they did. I thought that's what it meant. No. The Lord said, if your brother offends you, go to him and him alone. And talk to him and try to make a reason with him and try to get this worked out. And if he won't hear you, you go get Brother Aaron and take him with you. He says, take a brother with you. Take him with you and you go and then you try to talk to him. And if he won't hear you, then take him to the church house. And then if he won't hear you, then the Bible says to shake the dust off of your feet as a testimony against him and turn that thing over to God and say, Lord, there it is. I am done with that. And you'll walk away and you'll be a better person for it. Now, that was free of charge, straight from heaven. I hope we're not guilty of that this morning. If you got an ought against your brother, you need to get it made right. That was really weak right there. Amen. It's hard sometimes, ain't it? I've had people in my life I couldn't make peace with. I'd went to them, I'd talk to them, I'd beg to them, I'd plead with them, and they would not have peace. They would not receive peace. They would not. I would say I'm sorry when I didn't even do nothing. I'd say I'm sorry. They wouldn't even receive it. You know what I did? I dusted my feet off and left it at the Lord. And the Lord will take care of that. Proverbs 15:3, the Bible says the eye of the Lord is in every place. In every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees it all. You can get alone by yourself and you can do all those things by yourself. And, you know, pastor don't know, nobody knows, and you're all by yourself. I'll tell you right now, God sees every bit of it. He saw it when you had the thought in your heart to do it. He saw it. He knows what's going on in your life. He sees it all this morning. Nothing is hid from God. We cannot hide. Not only does he see it all, he hears it all. He hears it all. In that verse 7 there, the Bible says, and the Lord hath heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters. I don't know about you all, but I've worked for some people that has really made my life a living torment. I don't know about you, but I have. And it seemed like they just thrive to make things hard on me. I go into work, I can be positive, I'd be happy, I'm a team player, we're going to work together today, and boom, man, they come down on me. Just make life miserable. And all day long, you're just miserable, miserable. I'll tell you what you can do. You have a power that you don't even understand. That's when you can call on Him and say, Lord, now you've seen everything, and you heard everything. It's got so hard I can't hardly make it. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I pray that you'll take charge of this situation. Either move me out of this situation or move them out. Make something better, Lord. I need your help. And hold on because God's fixing to do something. He answers through prayer. He knows what's going on in your life. He hears it. Psalms 6:9, the Bible says, the Lord hath heard my supplications. And the Lord will receive your prayers. He is receiving them. Do you know Jesus is there making intercession for you and I, and He's there pleading to the Father when we call unto Him and we say, Lord, we need help. We need help. The Son is saying, Father, that's one of ours. We need to help Him. And there's an intercession going on there, and they're meeting the needs that you have, constantly meeting your needs. I don't feel like a lot of times the Lord is meeting my needs. A lot of times the Lord knows you don't need it. That's why He ain't meeting it. Have you ever prayed that way? Lord, if it's Your will, I pray for this to happen. But a lot of times we should say, Lord, I want this, and I want You to make it happen because I'm expecting You to do it. But we don't pray that way. We shouldn't pray that way. Lord, if it's Your will, You know best. I pray that You'll make a way. And by that, God will make a way in our life. Psalm 7, verse 1, the Bible says, O Lord, my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Save me from those that persecute me, Lord, and deliver me from them. I don't know how hard you have it, but I see some hard things in life. There in verse 7, he talked about the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and deliver them. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, do you believe we have guardian angels? My answer to that is absolutely. I believe we have one. And I'll tell you why I believe that. Because I've been through too much in my life. And He has delivered me out of things that I know there was no way out of it, except the Lord had intervened and watched over me and guarded me. I told Ravonda, someday when I get to heaven and I walk in and meet my guardian angel, he'll probably punch me right in the mouth. You have worked me to death! But I'm glad the Bible says they encamp about us, God's people. I want you to know today they're encamped around this place today. Why? Because they know the Word of God is being preached. And they want the Word of God to penetrate the heart of the people. But I'll tell you who else is encamped in here this morning. And that's the enemy. He don't want you to hear it. He don't want you to receive it. He wants you to get your mind off of it. But I'll tell you, if you'll tune in this morning, God will bless your life and help you. They're encamped about us this morning. I believe that. When my family and I went on vacation last week, I'm glad they were encamped around us and went with us, amen. And the whole time I was there, I seen people that literally scared me when I saw them. And I'd back up a little bit, but I had to face them, and we'd get around them. And I'd be like, Lord, help me, watch over us. And we was walking down the street, and my daughter was walking in front of me. Here comes some guys at us. I mean, they was rough-looking characters. They looked at her like a piece of meat, and I told her, I said, get behind me, quick. I done prayed that morning, watch over us, Lord, as we go out today. And what did the Lord do? He watched over us. And when we walked by these sketchy characters, they just walked right on by. Why? That's the protection of the Lord, amen, watching over us. Now, you may take that for granted. I don't take that for granted. And I watched over my family, and I had an umbrella in my hand. I started filling that umbrella. I thought, that thing ain't very stout if I was going to knock somebody out with it. And it had a wooden handle on it, so I turned it around with a wooden handle on that end. I thought, at least I'm going to put a knot on somebody's head. You shouldn't think that way as a pastor. I'm watching over my family, amen. I ain't going to let nobody hurt my family. You shouldn't either. The third thing that the Lord does, He not only sees us and hears us, but He's going to deliver us. Amen. He's going to deliver us. In verse 8, He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and large land, into a land flowing with milk and honey. He's going to deliver us out of this mess one day after a while. All the things we've suffered, all the things we went through, one day after a while, He's going to bring us out. I've got to lean over on up there in John when He gave us a promise over in John 14 when He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me, for in My Father's house are many mansions. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where where I am, there you may be also. I'm talking about a deliverance out of this old sinful world. He's going to take us up one day after a while. And what a time that's going to be for the children of God when He calls for us. We won't have to worry about being hurt no more, being talked about anymore, suffering anymore, going through all these things, praying over our children that are sick, praying over our companions that are sick. We'll never have to stand beside a bed again and watch a loved one die. Why? Because we'll be delivered out of this old mess one day after a while. It'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful. And I'm reminded when He said He will deliver us over in 1 Thessalonians. I love this one, the 4th chapter. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, amen, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That's what He tells us. And He said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, amen, to meet them in the clouds, in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I got to thinking about this morning, all of our loved ones that's done moved on to be with the Lord. I know your heart's broken. I know your heart is heavy, but I'm glad for the promises of God that told us the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those that have died in the Lord and have been laid down, one day after a while, He's going to call and they're going to get up first, amen. And then we're going to be called right after that. We're going to meet them in the air and we're going to meet the Lord there. We're going to take a ride on a cloud like you ain't never seen before. I see some clouds in my life. I just want to squeeze up. They look so good. Well, one day after a while, Brother Stephen, I'm glad I'm going to be on a cloud like I ain't never seen before. I'm going to ride that cloud into glory one day after a while with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to meet all of those that's done went on to be with Him. All those that's laid it down for God, I'll see them on the other side. What a day that's going to be when His blessed face I'll finally see. Amen. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good for those that love Him and serve Him on that day. I'm glad we're going to meet Him there. In verse 18, I love that last part in verse 18 of that chapter. He said, wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. It should be comfort to you this morning that He hears you, He sees you, and He's going to deliver you, amen. He's going to bring you out of this old mess one day after a while. And set your feet in a city that you've never been in before. I just been to a city that looked pretty dirty to me. It was run down and seemed like there was 10 million people in that place. And everywhere I moved, I was bumping into people. And you'd run into somebody and they'd say, get out of my way. And I remember we was down and getting ready to ride the subway. You ain't never done that, you ought to do that. I was down there getting ready to get into that subway. And they let those people out of that little metal tube and then like 10,000 people come out of it. And we was trying to figure out how to get in there and here was all these people and these are running through there like cattle. You farmers know what I'm talking about when you're herding cattle. They just run together and he's trying to get to a certain place and he's going through there and one guy come up to my wife and I mean, he's that close. He said, move! And it's like that and you know, she stepped out of the way. And I thought, man, where's the respect? I never walked up into a woman's face and said, get out of my way. I've always tried to step out of the way and let her by and respect her. But we live in a time where there's no respect left. But I'm telling you, they're coming in deliverance for God's people. I hope you're ready this morning. He's seen you this week. He's heard you this week. He's wanting to deliver you out of that mess that you're in. But we serve such a perfect God. He's such a perfect gentleman that He ain't going to force you to do anything. He's going to say, come. Over in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open up the door, let me come in, I'll sup with him and him with me. That means he'll take up fellowship with you. Your life will never be the same again. But he's knocking. The doorknob is on the inside. There's not one. It's like this right here. There's no doorknob on the outside of your heart. It's on the inside. You'll have to open it and let Him come in. So I wonder this morning, now that you know that God has heard it all, seen it all, are you ready for Him to deliver you from that mess? Are you tired of being tired of where you're at? As I prayed this week for you guys, and I thought about the church, and I knew Brother Tommy preached you the word, and I was thinking about, Lord, what do I need? What do I need to preach to them when I go back? He said, encourage them to come unto me. Encourage them to trust me. Encourage them to come and do what they need to do for God. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed in this place today,